Hey Shavat, Sunday the 25th of January, Rabbi Aaron Hirsch, Yesh Kona Olamoy. This week's Torahway has been sponsored L'ilu Nishmas Harav Yosef Dov Ben Rav Moshe HaKohen Elevitsky.
Let's start by briefly running through a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Yitzayin, run through most of the narrative story with Eliezer ben Daradia. The Gemara describes him pretty much as a reprobate, somebody who was connected. The Gemara at the end defines him as actually being the Odik, was connected completely to Avera, to the degree that it would have appeared unlikely, if not impossible, that he would ever change. And he at one stage travels quite a distance through quite a number of obstacles in order to perform an Avera, and at the last minute catches himself, and he realizes the extent of his descent, the extent of the averus that he has committed, and at that point attempts to create advocates to help his tshuva, and he appeals to Shemayim V'aretz, to the mountains, to whether literally, whether to the Tsar, or whether a conversation within himself. Either way, he then comes to the realization that tshuva is down to him and him alone. And he cries, puts his head between his legs, and eventually he dies having done tshuva. And a voice comes from Shemayim and proclaims that Rabbi Eliezer ben Daradia is mezumen l'chayei ha'olam haba. At which stage the Gemara tells us, Bocha Rabbi, Rabbi Rabbi Yehuda Nosi's reaction is, Yesh koine olamoy, a person is under circumstances able to acquire chelik in olam haba, b'sho achas, in one moment. Now, the normal way of understanding Bocha Rabbi, what is Rebbe upset about? Clearly, it isn't the fact that, you know, here he is, having spent his whole life doing Torah mitzvahs, and really, there was an alternative. He could have done nothing, and just in the closing moments, spent Shah Achas in Tshuva, and undone all of his lifetime. That's clearly not what Rebbe is crying over. So the normal way of understanding it, and this is the Mahalach of Reb Elia in Sefer Bereishis of the Or Yoel, that the difference that one Shah made to Eliezer ben Daradia is Nitzchias, is an eternity. Prior to his tshuva, he was going to be Yered to Gehenem, and that would be his seif. That would be the completion of that which he had come into this world for. With 1 hour of tshuva, he's now mezumen l'chayei olam haba. It doesn't mean that he gets straight in. It means that he will make it in. Once heard an idea from Rabbi Lev, he explains the opening mishnah of the 10th or 11th perek of Sanhedrin, depending whether you're learning Mishnayos or the Gemara. Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelek l'olam haba. Doesn't say Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelik B'Olam Haba. Everyone gets an invitation. And what they do with that invitation, if you don't fill in the reply card and you don't send it back, so you turn up to the wedding and there isn't a seat for you. It's Yeshlem Chelik L'Olam Haba. What Rabbi Eliezer ben Daradia achieved in that 1 hour is the ma'avar, is the transit from not being able to get into Olam Haba to get into Olam Haba. It's Nitzchias. How much difference 1 hour can make. And therefore, the concept of Bocha Rebbe how much time do we have in our lives which we do not use, which we could otherwise have used? If 1 hour makes the difference between non-nitzchias and nitzchias, so the repetition of each of those hours is very much that. Like one of the Mefarshim say that Bocha Rebbe was over the accountability that Rabbi Eliezer ben Darajian now holds everybody to. That it's poshut too much to be able to use every hour because it contains so much potential. And there's a mice I saw quite a number of years ago that Rav Shnei Kotler was collecting in Memphis, and he came to the Rav of the town, Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt, who had been his chavrusa in Lakewood, was also a Talmud Muvak of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and they went through a list of names of potential donors. They came to one name, and Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt said, "Don't bother. This person has a shitter when it comes to tzedakah. He never gives." So he says, "In that case, we're definitely going to him." Is it fine? So they made the appointments, they come in, and either during a phone call or when they walked in, this Gavir says, "You know, I'm not giving you any money." So Rav Shneur said, "Yes, Sava v'kibel." Sit down, and Rav Shneur says, "I'm intrigued by somebody who has such a shitter in life." So he said, "I went through the Holocaust, and I feel that if Kodesh Baruch Hu could do this to people, and people don't need to respond in a positive way any longer." So Rav Shneur said to him, "Did you not consider the fact that you survived when so many didn't? And that alone is a reason for a measure of hakaras hatov." And the guy was taken aback. Rav Shneur saw an opportunity and they carried on talking. They were talking for a couple of hours. At the end of which, Rav Shneur said, "You know that I'm here to collect funds for the yeshiva, and I could have gone to people who would give me money. I came here for one reason, to be mezakeh you with the potential of getting into Olam Haba through the schus of tzedakah, opening a doorway which until now you had never opened." So the guy wrote him a check for $50. So they left. And Rabbi Greenblatt said to him, "Was it Kedai? 2 hours for $50? He said, "I didn't come for the $50. He said, "I'll tell you a mice of my own father. When the border closed in the beginning of the Second World War, Rabbi Aaron was in Poland because Kletsk and Slutsk were in what was Poland pre-World War II. Nowadays it's in Belarus. And Rabbi Aaron fled with his family. And he realized that in the confusion that he'd left his tefillin behind. So he went back. Family weren't so happy that he was exposing himself to danger. He went back and he found his tefillin still in the Beis HaMedrash. And he came close to the border. By then it was daylight. So he needed somewhere to stay till the late night, just before dawn. So he knocks on a farmhouse door, and they opened it, and he said, "Can I stay here?" The person said yes, and they obviously realized he was Jewish, and nisbarer that this farmer was also a Jew. So Rabbi Aaron sees the opportunity, and they start talking. And this was a Jew who was far from anything. Again, he was living in the general vicinity of Yiddishkeit, knew nothing, kept nothing. And they were talking all the way through the night. Came to the morning, too late to cross the border. Rabbi Aaron takes out his tefillin. He's got his talis and tefillin there. Takes out his talis and tefillin. His farmer is looking at him. So he says, "Do you not do this?" Never put on tefillin in his life. Rabbi Aaron realizes, karkafta, delay manach tefillin. The Gemara says somebody who's never put on tefillin is mechlal poshe Yisrael. They never get into Gan Eden. So he tells him a little bit about what tefillin is, and he puts on tefillin. Of course, by then it's too late to cross the border, so he has to wait all the way till the next night. Next night he crosses, and he rejoins his family. Years later, said Rav Shneur, Rav Aaron had a dream. This farmer appeared to him and said, "Because of what you did, I was eventually able to get into Olam Haba." So Rav Shneur said, I didn't spend two hours with this gvir in order to get $50. I spent 2 hours with this gvir to open the Pesach. That's the Shah Achas. The Shah Achas can make a nitzchi difference. So that's the normal way of understanding this Gemara over which Rebbe wept. However, there are two other ways of understanding, and that is not so much what he did, but what led him to do tshuva. The Sifsei Chaim, beginning of Chelek Aleph and Vayadim, talks of the concept of charota. That the charota was fueled by hitting rock bottom and the realization of Ein Hadavar Tolui Eloibi. That it's down to me. And that there are no excuses. If only, if this, if that. Bottom line, a person wants to do tshuva, they have to do tshuva. Not Christianity, where somebody else does it for you. If you want to be a Baal tshuva, you have to be the one who does tshuva. And the Maral adds that this person had undergone what could only be described as Mesiras Nefesh to do the Avera. If you look at the Gemara in detail, he'd gone through various, almost nisyonos, in order to do the Avera, which is a Megala. If you manage to do all of that to do the Avera, that's what you've got to do in order to undo the Avera. And therefore, the Charota, which this person became aware of, over that, Bocha Rebbe. And Benegir to that, saw something more recently. The Kloisenberger was sent, as everyone knows, to Auschwitz-Birkenau, and eventually was sent to that, from there to Warsaw. This was in July of 1944, to clear the rubble in Warsaw. And he writes that at one stage he was sleeping in this little room with, there were 42 people in there, and after 2 weeks, only two people were left alive, him and one other person. And he starts a conversation with this person, and he says, are you Jewish? So he says, why otherwise would I be here? So he said, who are you? The person said, you don't know who I am, you don't recognize me? He said, no. He says, I am the governor of the National Bank of Hungary. My face appears on the banknotes in Hungary. So he asked him again, are you Jewish? So he said, no. He said, what do you mean? He said, I converted to Christianity. He said, so how come you're here? So he said, well, they obviously found out that I was Jewish eventually. So he said, and were you married? He said, yes, I married a Christian woman. Is she here with you? What, you crazy? You think she came with me? So he said, I don't understand. You were probably a loyal husband, and she just abandoned you? She says, why are you making these tsoros for me? Is it not bad enough where I am? You're giving me all these thoughts in my head, all these ideas. So he said, you have children? He said, yes, one is a doctor and one is a lawyer. He says, and they're not here with you? I don't understand, why are you being mitzayer me? So he said, he left the conversation. He said, the second night, he gave this story in Mamash in detail in 1983 once in Williamsburg. The second night, so the Kloisenberger says to him, he said, did you ever do anything when you were the governor of the Bank of Hungary? Did you do anything for the Hungarian economy? He said, do you really not know who I am? He said, every goy in the street would recognize me. She said, I don't understand. And the goyim let you come here? He should have been protecting you. So he carries on in this vein. Eventually, on the third night, this person says to him, he says, you're right. He says, I have charota over everything that I did with my life. He said, the conversion to Christianity, the marrying a Christian woman, the fact that I gave my life for all of this, it was all le'efes. And he said, you were right to say what you said, because I realize now what I did was wrong. The fourth night, this person was no longer alive. And the closing Gogor Rebbe, he said that this was the depth of harota that he was able to affect in this individual. So this idea, Sipsei Chaim points out, is the catalyst to doing tshuva. It has to come from somewhere. It comes from realizing where a person is and that only they can do something about it. The opposite side of this is what the Michtam Elior of Dessler writes, that the kickstart for tshuva is when a person realizes how much potential they have. It's the other side, the flip side of the coin. That they realize that they can do much more. Gadlus ha'odom. And Rav Dessler quotes the Pasuk, V'afgam zeis v'yeis meretz avim lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim, which is normally the Teuchacha, we normally ascribe that to Gashmias. He says that even refers to Ruchnias. Lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim, that wherever a person is, they should know they have the potential to do something about it. And therefore, it's these three ideas, Bochur Rebbe. There's only one thing, and that is, many people are unaware that Rebbe didn't just say, Yesh kene olomoi b'sho achas. He actually said something first. Bochur Rebbe v'omar, Yesh kene olomoi b'kamo shonim, v'yesh kene olomoi b'sho achas. That sometimes a person is kene the olam habo in many years, and sometimes b'shar achas. Seems to be contrasting the two. So once again, normally how we would understand this is that for some people it takes years and years and years until the penny drops, or until they're prepared to undertake the action of tshuva. And some people, they have a gilui, they have a moment of clarity, and in one moment, they can already do tshuva. So the normal understanding is that this is the better thing to do. But Rav Dessler takes this further, and he says it's not quite so. Rav Dessler says there are three occasions where the Gemara quotes a story and ends with Bochur Rebbe, with this aphorism, with this statement. All three are in Aveda Zara. And in all three cases, the person dies. Bochur Rebbe, he hears this voice coming from Shemayim, but in all three cases, the person dies. Rav Dessler explains that what goes on is what could be called Kvitzas HaDerech. That this person achieves a tremendous madriga in a very short amount of time, and achieves nitzchias. The problem is that the ra that the person has done is still there. And therefore the only way forward is for them to die as they stand. They can't carry on with life. The Lashon of Reb Tzadik is V'gamze la'oinesh, ma'ashe kona ulami b'sha'achas, v'hutzdrach tekev leilech l'chaya olam haba. Tzadok says this person can't go on. Marsha says something dumer to this as well, that this is a person who has come to the emes, but come to the emes in a life which is still rooted in ra. And therefore the only way forward is for them to connect this, continue this dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it can't be any further that they continue in Olam Hazeh. And in fact, Dessler explains in Chelik Aleph already, that the concept of Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem, Chilul comes from the word Chalal. It means to create a vacuum, a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't exist. The person says, listen, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be there when I'm in the Beis HaMedrash, but when I go to work, you know, that's my own cheshbonus. I can't have HaKadosh Baruch Hu hanging around because, you know, it'll crimp my style. That's a chilul Hashem because they're creating a halal. They're creating an area where they're not allowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in. This person has done it in kamat every area of their life. And therefore, they can't come back. Their vehicle of Kiddush Hashem is the fact that they died in the process of tshuva. It is the marim mokoy. It is the fact that they are passively creating Kiddush Hashem by their fate. But their actions in and of themselves come to an end. And this is comparable, connectable to a famous Beis HaLevi in next week's parasha. Beis HaLevi quotes a posuk in Tehillim, Olisa l'morim shovisa shevi lokachta matonis ba'odom. This is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu bringing Torah down from Har Sinai. And the Beis HaLevi points out that there are three different verbs used to describe Matan Torah, and they are contradictory. Olisa l'morim, went up to Shemaim, shovisa shevi, you captured Torah. So he said, that's bal karcho. That's against the will, potentially, of the person who has Torah. Lokachta matonis. So if there is lokachta, then there's a give and take. There's a buyer and a seller. And they both come together in agreement. Matonis is something that you get as a gift, and the person just gave it without you deserving it, necessarily, or paying for it. Where do these three come into being? So he says there are three bechinas of Torah. There's the bechina in the first parak of Megillah of Yogato Matzosa, which he says is open to everybody. Torah was given in the Midbar. It is open even to somebody who's not royu lekach. If a person puts in the yegia, they will, by definition, acquire Torah. And it will be matzosa. It will be given it after they put in the yegia. Anybody, even somebody who is not royal lekach. Then the Gemara says, "Avalaik megirsa," but halacha lemaisa, that is dependent on siyata dishmaya. So the second level is a buy and sell, is a give and take. It needs HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Koineh to be on the same page. And then there are the matonis, megalin loy roze shemayim, the fact that it's megalin loy, it comes because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give this person, and sometimes even if a person is a Talmud Chacham and Yerei Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not megalin loy, for whatever cheshbonos HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. There are three levels of Torah, and the Beis HaLevi brings this to the Medrash, the beautiful Tzushtel, of the fact that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe that Klal Yisrael served the Egel, so they then have almost, so to speak, a fight over the Luchos, where Moshe wants to take them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to hold on to them. It says the Luchos was six Tvachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holding two Tvachim, Moshe is holding two Tvachim, and there's two Tvachim in the middle. Why? Because the two Tvachim of Yegiah, that belongs to Moshe. He's putting the Yegiah, even if he's not royal lekach at this moment in time, it's his. The two Tvachim Vida of the Matanos, that's obviously in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's domain. And the two Tvachim in the middle, that needs the two to come together, so no one's holding that. So you have the concept of being able to connect to Torah, even somebody who's poshut not royal lekach. It's something that is an ability which is seen already within the concept of your gata. And therefore, this person can connect, but as Reb Dessler explains, they can't stay there. And therefore they die. And it's interesting, one of the other two Gemaras which deal with this Bocha Rebbe and Yesh Kenei Olomoi, in Daf Yud, it's the other way around, is a Maisa with a Roman noble who at the end carried out Bris Milah on himself, and as he was about to be killed, he said, Kol nichsai, all my possessions should go to Rabbi Akiva v'chaverov. And the Ben Yoyoda points out that the word Akiva is Yesh Kena Olomoi B'Sha'achas. Rosh HaTevis of that word because he was connecting himself to something nitzri, but he couldn't remain there because of the ra that was within him. However, says Rav Dessler, the better thing, obviously, is the person who is Kena Olamo become a shaman. Because this is the person who, through struggle, who through defeating the Yetzer Hara on an ongoing basis, having better days and worse days, but on an ongoing basis being Oile Mimadrega Lamadrega, this is a person who, when they do their life's work of tshuva, rather than their Shor Achas of tshuva, they hold on to it. They stay there with it. And I heard recently from the Geitzer Drov, he said that Rav Moshe Feinstein, Yom Kippur, used to go to his son who had a yeshiva in Staten Island. And Erev Yom Kippur used to give a drosha to the Bochrim. The last Yom Kippur of his life, he was too schwach to give a drosha, but he didn't want to be mevatel the minag completely. So on Erev Yom Kippur, he called some Bochrim together. And he said, we have to do tshuva. What am I going to do? I'm going to try and increase my limud Torah by 1%. Because a person who values the nitzrius of Torah understands that 1% of nitzrius is an unbelievable amount. This is a person who is Eile mimadrega lemadrega. They do it in parts. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu reads the small print, not just the headlines. And therefore, Be'etzim, says Rav Dessler, this is the better way. This is the better way forward. To make the choices on an ongoing basis. That connects us to an idea in this week's parasha. We find in Parasha's boy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the tzivui to Moshe to tell Klal Yisrael, Daber no ba'oznei ha'om, v'yishalu ishmer eyu v'ishram esru usa klei kesev v'chlei zov. And it happened, v'yitin Hashem eschein ha'om ba'inei Mitzrayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave a certain amount of chein, and therefore they were able to borrow possessions from people who had the day before, the year before, been their taskmasters. And then the posuk finishes, Gam ho'ish Moshe godel ma'id be'eretz Mitzrayim be'enei avdei paro ve'enei ha'om. It starts by saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave chen ha'om in the eyes of Mitzrayim, and it finishes by saying, oh, by the way, Moshe was a very respected person in the eyes of avdei paro and be'enei ha'om. It's me'anyin shmitei til har Sinai. Rashi doesn't say anything. Stop describing that Moshe Rabbeinu was, you know, very respected. What's going on? So, when it comes to Kriyas Yamsuf, so the posuk in Tehillim, Hayom Ro Vayonis, Ma Ro, various answers. The most famous answer is Ro Arena Shal Yosef. And therefore, the Yamsuf split. So the Medrash says, Lohidia Chochmosai Vachasidusai Shal Moshe, to tell us the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shekol Yisrael Oiskim B'Bizo. The rest of Klal Yisrael is spending their time getting Bizas Mitzrayim. U'Moshe Oisek B'Mitzvahs Atzmos Yosef. And therefore, that's the fulfillment of the Pasuk in Mishlei, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvahs. So there are a number of things that we have to pick up. Firstly, the Shevet Levi weren't able to take part in Bizas Mitzrayim, in Mitzrayim itself, because the Chein Ha'om that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to them to be able to pick up Bizas Mitzrayim was dafka for those who'd been enslaved, because that was Mamash and Nes. But the Bnei Levi who had never been enslaved were never part of this Tzivui, and were never able to pick up Bizas Mitzrayim. And therefore, the Torah is telling us, Moshe Rabbeinu himself was a very, very respected person. Had he wanted to, he could have picked up Bizas Mitzrayim. Because Anisht, what's the big deal that he was being Isaac in Atzmos Yosef? What choice did he have? He couldn't have gone round to his neighbours. Says the Torah, no. He could easily have taken Bizas Mitzrayim just like the rest of Klal Yisrael. But instead, he decided to spend his time with Atzmus Yosef. That's the greatness of Moshe that is being described in this pasuk. Fine. But Rabban Kotler asks another question. He says, the pasuk used to describe this medrash is Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvahs. Somebody who is a Chacham. What has it got to do with Chochma? I understand it's got to do with Kedusha. That, you know, they were Isaac B'Bizas Mitzrayim, and he was dealing with Atzmus Yosef. Kedusha, but why Chochma? And second of all, the Bizas Mitzrayim, they were asked to do it. Can't have tinus on them, this is what they were told to do. Says Rav Aaron, a person has to always make a cheshbon in life, even when it comes to mitzvahs. If you have the choice between doing two mitzvahs, do the one that creates a greater nitzchias. And therefore, chacham lev yikach mitzvahs, you'll take the mitzvahs and sort between them to see which is the one at this moment in time that offers greater opportunities. And Rav Aaron says, they come to the Yam Suf, and they've all got the Bizas Mitzrayim. And they've got the Mitzrayim behind them, the Midbar on either side, and the Yam Suf in front of them. In what way will the Bizas Mitzrayim now help them? It will help them do one thing, drown faster, because they're now laden down with the Bizas Mitzrayim. What actually helped them get across was the Arena Shel Yosef. Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvahs is because a person, as they go through life, as Rav Dessler says, on an ongoing basis, not in Shor Achas, but on an ongoing basis, struggling and clarifying and working through the sugya of mitzvahs that present themselves, and they are able to choose that which contains the greater amount of Kedusha, the greater amount of nitzvahs, that is the person who yesh kene olamoi, their olam will be one that isn't just a moment of clarity, but a clarity that has accompanied them all the way through life.